Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong and healthy in your world right now. And of course, the NBA and NHL playoffs got started over this past weekend, and the opening rounds are underway. Have they been great? The NHL has been interesting. But let's jump into the NBA right off the bat. Out west, we have the number one Oklahoma City Thunder facing the number eight Phoenix Suns. Yeah, that's a cakewalk. We have the number two San Antonio Spurs, who are beating up on the number seven Portland Trailblazers, and the world is getting to see firsthand just how amazing young Victor Wembanyama can be. Yeah, I think the Spurs are going to roll in that one. My number three Denver Nuggets are in a dogfight against the number six Minnesota Timberwolves for a number of reasons. One, because the Nuggets make so many fundamental mistakes, especially on the defensive end, and then Minnesota just out-physicals them. I think this series could go seven and might be the most entertaining series of the league right now. And then we have the number four Los Angeles Lakers without Luka and Austin Reeves, but they're still more than holding their own against the number five Houston Rockets, who I know are banged up as well. But man, Houston had some really high expectations this year. They have not lived up to those in any capacity. Over in the East, we have the number one Detroit Pistons facing the number eight Orlando Magic, and Orlando actually won game one. I think that was just a blip. I think Detroit's going to rally and come back and win that series, but it didn't start off well for them. The Boston Celtics are the number two seed, and I expect them to make very quick work of the Philadelphia 76ers, and it wouldn't matter if Joel Embiid was playing or not. The New York Knicks are the number three seed. They are facing the number six Atlanta Hawks, and hey, this might be another tight series. Knicks point guard Jalen Brunson, yeah, we know he can carry them. Oh, but on Monday night, it was Atlanta's CJ McCollum making the clutch plays down the stretch. You know, if the Knicks could just get anything from big man Karl Anthony Towns, they would be a team to deal with. But they don't. Finally, the number four Cleveland Cavaliers are making what looks like quick work of the number five Toronto Raptors, at least so far. But it is Cleveland, so you never know. Hey, right now, the NBA is probably the most predictable league in all of sports. I would put it right there, maybe with Major League Baseball, but usually baseball at least has a surprise or two. Hey, not here in the NBA. I will pick the Oklahoma City Thunder to beat the Boston Celtics right now, and it's May. And you know what? I'm going to be right. Over in the NHL, and I know we don't talk a ton of NHL here at the Dose, but in the West, we have my high-scoring Colorado Avalanche facing the Los Angeles Kings, who are trying to just beat them up and kind of muck things up. And you know, it's kind of weird. I kept seeing all these no King signs around Denver, and I didn't understand what in the world they were even talking about. Now I understand them. Go Avs, go.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
The Edmonton Oilers are facing the Anaheim Ducks. Edmonton is trying to get back to being fully healthy, but I mean, I think they're going to roll the Ducks because the Ducks play no defense. There is no D in Ux. The Vegas Golden Knights are going against the new expansion Utah Mammoth. Hey, both of these teams can score goals, but I think the Knights are going to advance on their experience alone. And the Dallas Stars are in a very physical series with the Minnesota Wild. I know the Stars are going to eventually beat the Wild. I know the Stars are a title contender, but this might be a physical series that could go seven games. And then over in the East, we get the very talented, but also inexperienced Buffalo Sabres, who are facing a Boston Bruins team that also has struggled to play defense. So I think Buffalo squeaks out a win, right? The almost always tough Carolina Hurricanes are facing the Ottawa Senators, who just always seem to find ways to fail in the playoffs. And I think that'll happen again here. The Tampa Bay Lightning are facing the Montreal Canadiens, who are extremely talented. I just don't know that they have the depth that Tampa Bay has. And the Pittsburgh Penguins are in a wild series against the Philadelphia Flyers. Hey, Pittsburgh flies around, they score points, and the Flyers try to lock you down with their defense. So this might be a really, really entertaining series. I would probably lean towards the Flyers, though. Okay, so I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to predict my Colorado Avalanche to have a rematch with the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup Finals. But like I said, the NHL is way harder to predict, and it seems like every year we get a major upset or two in those Stanley Cup playoffs, and it won't surprise me one bit if we get a few more this year. Hey, today on The Dose, we will, of course, be bringing you our annual Daily Dose NFL Mockery Draft, as only we can. We will let you know exactly who will be getting picked in the first 10 picks of the 2026 NFL Draft. Remember, that begins tomorrow night. And we have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you that will also be heavily NFL Draft flavored as well. But first, we do have a little bit of news to touch on this week. And let's stay in the NBA, where the NBA has made an interesting ruling. Because they have ruled that Los Angeles Lakers guard Luka Doncic and Detroit Pistons guard Cade Cunningham are eligible for the 2026 NBA Awards after the league and the players' union ruled in their favor last week. Now, Doncic and Cunningham will remain in contention for those awards, such as MVP and All-NBA. But, you know, each of these guys got hurt, and each injury caused an uproar around the league, leading to a discussion and a challenge to that 65-game rule, which was introduced back in the 23-24 season. Now, the rule is, if you haven't played at least 65 games, you're not eligible for those awards. But please understand this. While that 65-game rule is being blasted by the NBA and the players and the NBA slurpers, understand that it's only asking you to attend your job 79% of the time. Imagine the job you work at right now, and you only have to be there 79% of the time. Are you going to be up for any employee of the month? No, I don't think you are. And as easy as that would be to attain, as easy as that mark is to hit, NBA players still can't get it. You know, I just can't figure out why NBA players won't play. Oh, wait, it's because Commissioner Adam Silver allows them to not play. He allows them to do whatever they want. Yeah, it's so weird. I also can't figure out why those TV ratings just keep getting worse every single year. You know, are we going to have a weird offseason in the NBA? We could. Because, you know, Billy Donovan has decided to step down as head coach of the Chicago Bulls after six seasons. You know, Donovan spent the last six seasons in Chicago. After 5 years in Oklahoma City, he was pretty good in Oklahoma City. He made the playoffs every year. But the Bulls went 226 and 256 under Donovan, and they missed the playoffs for the fourth year in a row this year. He was unable to turn them around. But it's not just Donovan. Could we see an NBA offseason, like I said, of big changes? Hey, could Steve Kerr be done with the Golden State Warriors? I don't know. His body language in that final game sure looked like he might be done. And finally, could LeBron James be done? Remember, LeBron is now 41. He'll be 42 next year, and he could be a free agent after this season. There's no question the guy can still play, but is there any chance LeBron could step away quietly and go away? Of course there's not, because that's not who LeBron is. LeBron is a drama queen. I fully expect LeBron to announce his retirement like 5 years in advance so everybody can give him the gifts, everybody can give him the flowers, everybody can make a big deal out of him, because that's just who LeBron is. He is a Kardashian at heart. So the 2026 NFL draft will get started tomorrow in Pittsburgh. And while it might not be a super top-heavy draft, that doesn't mean there isn't talent to be found in this draft. You just have to do your research. You just have to do your homework. The first round will be completed tomorrow, followed by rounds 2 and 3 on Friday, and then rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. And right now, we are bringing you our 2026 Daily Dose NFL Mockery Draft. I'm going to let you know exactly how those first 10 picks are going to go. At number 1, The Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock. And, you know, I actually think the Raiders would love to trade this pick and go try to attain some more talent. The problem is, I don't know that anyone else really wants Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza that bad. So there just aren't the deals to be made. So the Raiders will take Fernando Mendoza, quarterback, out of Indiana, and then he and Kirk Cousins will lead the league in shucky darns when they throw interceptions. Hey, be encouraged, homeschooled kids. If Fernando can make it, so can you. Up next at number two are the New York Jets. And you know, the Jets literally need help everywhere. But I believe they're going to focus on a pass rusher here, and they're going to take Ohio State pass rusher Arvell Reese. The Jets were 31st in sacks last season with just 26. They were 27th in pressure rate at a really, really poor clip of just 28%. Now, Arvell Reese is probably more potential than production so far, although I think he has a way higher ceiling. But again, this is the Jets we're talking about. If they can screw this draft up, they're going to try. At number three, we have the Arizona Cardinals, who have another new head coach in Mike LaFleur, who comes over from being the offensive coordinator with the Los Angeles Rams and walks into an absolute disaster in Arizona. Now, the Cardinals have to be tempted to take an offensive player here. But that defense was just so bad. I don't think they have a choice. I think they have to go defense. The Cardinals were in the bottom five in pressure rate as well last season. And I think they need someone like an Arvell Reese, but he's already off the board. They really need someone to be opposite Josh Sweat in a division where you've got quarterbacks like Matt Stafford and Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy. So I think they go Texas Tech outside linebacker David Bailey here and try to shore up that defense a little bit. The Tennessee Titans are up at number four. And despite being completely incompetent, Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love falls right into their lap here. And I actually think Jeremiah Love could end up being the best player in this draft. So this is an absolute steal for the Titans. The Titans can now put Jeremiah Love in the backfield with second-year quarterback Cam Ward. And don't look now, but they're starting to resemble a real live NFL team. That is something brand new for us with the Tennessee Titans as of recently. At number five, we have the New York Giants. And I believe the New York Giants are going to set out to repair their terrible defense by adding Ohio State safety Caleb Downs. I think Caleb Downs is a plug-and-play kind of guy. Now remember, the Giants now have new head coach John Harbaugh. Also remember, he drafted a few safeties in the first round when he was in Baltimore. Malachi Starks and Kyle Hamilton were both Harbaugh picks in recent years, and I actually think Caleb Downs would end up being better than either one of those guys. No, he's not as athletic, but he's highly intelligent. And with quarterback Jackson Dart and running back Cam Scataboo already on this roster, yeah, it makes sense. They might want to pick a smart guy. I mean, at this point, they might just want to pick a guy who won't slam his head into a brick wall on purpose, as far as that goes. Up next at number six, the Cleveland Browns are on the clock. And while that offensive line in Cleveland allowed their quarterbacks to be sacked an insane 51 times last year, you'd think the Browns would go get some offensive line help. But remember, this is the Browns. Now, most franchises would go get one of these offensive tackles that's out there. There's a few guys on the board. But I think the Browns are going to do what a little baby would do. First shiny thing, they're going to grab it. So they're going to select Ohio State wide receiver Carnell Tate instead. Hey, Carnell Tate is capable of producing big plays if his quarterback doesn't get killed first. But they will. So he won't. The Browns take Carnell Tate at number six. The number seven pick belongs to the Washington Commanders. And while they need help nearly everywhere, we know that head coach Dan Quinn does like to have cornerbacks that can play man-to-man defense. He likes those guys that can be out on that island and control one side of the field. So I believe the Commanders will select LSU cornerback Mansoor Delane here and try to upgrade that secondary. Now, Delane has good size. He has good speed. He's actually pretty technically sound, too. So this could be a good get for the Washington Commanders. Now, will it be good enough to make Washington fans forget that their quarterback is still Marcus Mariota, and maybe not quite that good. Next, at number 8, we have the New Orleans Saints. And the New Orleans Saints really need to upgrade that defense. And while Miami edge rusher Reuben Bain Jr., well, he has a little bit of baggage. If you're not familiar, Reuben Bain was involved in a car accident back in March in Miami. He was driving 4 passengers in his car on I-95 at 4 a.m. when his vehicle struck another car and actually killed one of the passengers in the other vehicle. And you might say, well, there's no way he's going to go this high at number 8 to the Saints. But then you got to remember, in New Orleans, I mean, killing folks is kind of, let's just say it's kind of part of the landscape. This could be a perfect fit is what I'm saying. Bain goes to the Saints at number 8. The Kansas City Chiefs find themselves in kind of a weird spot, at least recently, as they finished this past season with a 6-11 record with quarterback Patrick Mahomes going down with that knee injury. And the Chiefs have themselves a top 10 pick at number 9. Well, remember, the Chiefs are still looking for wide receiver help. Tight end Travis Kelce is back, but he's 36. Veteran wide receiver Hollywood Brown is gone. Third-year wideout Xavier Worthy, I mean, he's shown flashes, but he only scored 1 touchdown all year last year. And of course, Rashee Rice, that guy could go for another joyride at literally any second. Well, Arizona State wide receiver Jordan Tyson, he's got some longevity concerns. Because in college, he missed a third of his games due to injury. Well, that sounds like a perfect fit. That's exactly who the Chiefs would take. Because the Chiefs always seem to have talented guys. They're just not always on the field producing. The Kansas City Chiefs take Jordan Tyson at number 9. And we finish off our 2026 NFL Daily Dose Mockery Draft with the New York Giants again, who are back on the clock after already selecting safety Caleb Downs at number 5. Well, with wide receiver Malik Nabers coming off of an injury, I fully expect the Giants to take another wide receiver here. And USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon is a slot receiver, and he could take some of the pressure off of Nabers. Now, he's not a big guy. Lemon is about 5'11". He's 190, but he's really good at going up and winning contested catches. And with Jackson Dart as your starter and Jameis Winston as your backup, yeah, you're going to have to make some contested catches in New York too. Hey, remember, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every single week to see what new things we have going on over there. We have links to podcasts, we have links to videos, and we have new articles that go up every week. In fact, this week, I did talk a little bit about the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets and exactly why those two could be in a dogfight of a series to open up the playoffs. So make sure you stop by and check that out. You can also find Daily Dose gear over there. If you need a t-shirt, a hoodie, a sweatshirt, a baseball cap, they have it all at DailyDoseSports.com. And remember, you can always email the podcast at DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. We hear from listeners regularly, and it is always good to hear from you. If you've got a question, you've got a comment, maybe you have a concern, feel free to reach out. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Okay, so let's get this on the table. Is the 2026 NFL draft class the worst in recent memory? I mean, there's a good chance it could be. There just isn't that much star power. I mean, the best player in the draft, in most everyone's opinion, is probably Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love. He's not going to go number 1. So it might be kind of a weird draft where trades might end up being more exciting than the picks themselves. But trust me on this. We have seen some bad drafts before. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 counts down the top 5 worst NFL draft classes ever. Let's see how this year is going to stack up. We start off at number 5. And we go back to the year 2000. Now, this draft is noteworthy for a number of reasons. First, it marked the first time in 34 years that a kicker was taken in the first round, as the Oakland Raiders took Florida State kicker Sebastian Janikowski, who may or may not have roofied the Raiders front office to get that pick. But that wasn't even the most noteworthy aspect of this draft. No, that of course goes to the New England Patriots, who with their 6th round pick at number 199, selected Michigan quarterback Tom Brady. But remember, there were six quarterbacks taken before Brady. Chad Pennington, Giovanni Carmazzi, Chris Redman, T. Martin, Mark Bulger, and Spurgeon Wynn. Now, the Browns, in a clear indicator of why that franchise has been struggling, like, since always, is the fact that they have the number one pick in this draft, and they took defensive end Courtney Brown. The 2000 draft produced two Hall of Fame players in Tom Brady and Chicago Bears linebacker Brian Urlacher. But other than that, it produced just 14 Pro Bowlers taken in the first round and just 29 Pro Bowlers total. Yet 2000 produced Tom Brady. It produced Brian Urlacher. That's about it. And remember, Tom Brady wasn't that well thought of even in that draft itself. The 2000 draft comes in at number 5. We move on to number 4. And we go back exactly 1 year before the number 5 class, because the 1999 NFL draft class was famous for its quarterback class. 5 passers were selected in the first round, but most of them didn't really do anything. Once again, the Cleveland Browns were at number 1. They took Kentucky quarterback Tim Couch. The Philadelphia Eagles selected Donovan McNabb at number 2. But remember, that pick was booed by the team's fans because they wanted Texas running back Ricky Williams. Cincinnati selected Oregon quarterback Akili Smith. And then, I mean, New Orleans Saints coach Mike Ditka thought so little of this draft class that he traded all of his picks in order to move up and get Williams. I mean, Williams had a decent career, but he spent just 3 years in New Orleans. Running back Edgerrin James was good. Wide receiver Torrey Holt was good. And the number 16 overall selection, Javon Kurse, looked like he was going to be an all-timer with the Tennessee Titans. But, I mean, that didn't last. The Chicago Bears selected UCLA quarterback Cade McNown at number 12. In all, the 1999 class produced one Hall of Fame player in Georgia cornerback Champ Bailey. No one else is really even close. It produced just 25 Pro Bowlers, and just 13 of those Pro Bowlers were in the first round. The 1999 draft class comes in today at number 4. So we reach number 3. And we get to a class that still has a chance to produce a Hall of Famer, but it won't be a gimme. Because back in 2009, Georgia quarterback Matthew Stafford was the obvious choice for the Detroit Lions at number 1. But the player selected at number 2, Baylor offensive tackle Jason Smith, he went to the Rams. Yeah, he lasted just 45 games in his entire career. And that kind of set the tone for the first round. Linebacker Aaron Curry went number 4 to Seattle. He was a bust. The Green Bay Packers traded back in the first round and selected USC linebacker Clay Matthews. He's probably the next best player in this class. Pitt running back LeSean McCoy was okay. But after Stafford, taken number 1 overall, two more quarterbacks were taken in the first round. Mark Sanchez by the Jets and Josh Freeman by the Buccaneers. Now, the 2009 draft class has no Hall of Famers yet, although Stafford has a shot, but it produced just 10 Pro Bowlers total and just 9 taken in the first round. The 2009 draft class was not very good, and it comes in at number 3. We reached the number 2, worst NFL draft class in history, and we go back to the year 1992 for this one. Now, this was crazy. The Indianapolis Colts owned not just the top pick, the top 2 picks in this draft. And somehow they managed to miss on both. At number 1, they selected Washington defensive tackle Steve Emtman. Emtman played just 9 games over 3 years because he was hurt all the time. Now, that one was unfortunate. But when you played on that horrible AstroTurf, injuries were a problem. But then at number 2, the Colts picked Texas A&M linebacker Quentin Coriat. Yeah, he played 7 years. He never made a single Pro Bowl. Now, to defend the Colts, it wasn't a great class. Take, for instance, the quarterback class. Houston's David Klingler and UCLA's Tommy Maddox were taken in the first round. Virginia's Matt Blunden and Penn State's Tony Saka were taken in the second round. That's horrible. There were a couple of late picks that were okay, Jeff Blake went to the New York Jets and then ended up playing a little bit in Cincinnati. And then, of course, Brad Johnson was taken out of Florida State by the Minnesota Vikings. And you'll remember he did play quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they won the Super Bowl. But the 1992 draft produced no MVPs, no offensive or defensive players of the year, and of course, no members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In all, the 92 draft produced just 26 Pro Bowl players and just 11 from the first round. And that dreadful class of 1992 comes in at number two. So we reach the number one worst draft class of all time. And I know it's still kind of early, but this has to belong to the class of 2013. The top two selections in the 13 draft, Central Michigan offensive tackle Eric Fisher went to Kansas City, and Texas A&M offensive tackle Luke Jokel went to Jacksonville. Neither one did anything. The third pick, UCLA pass rusher Deion Jordan, was picked by the Miami Dolphins. You'll remember he was suspended for the entire 2015 season for a violation of the substance abuse policy. And then there were the quarterbacks in 2013. And they were bad. In the first round, the Buffalo Bills selected Florida State quarterback E.J. Manuel. Not great. In the second round, the New York Jets selected West Virginia quarterback Geno Smith, who has honestly been head and shoulders better than anyone else in the entire class. But that's really saying something. In all, the 2013 draft class produced zero Hall of Famers, and there's no possibility of one. It produced just seven Pro Bowlers, and just five of them came from the first round. The 2013 NFL draft class was beyond horrible, and it easily lands here on our list today at number one. Hey, there's a chance that this 2026 NFL draft class could be a bad class. There just isn't that much firepower here. But as you can see from our Daily Dose Top 5 today, it's going to really have to underachieve to be the worst draft class ever. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be recapping that NFL draft. Plus, you know, we'll be keeping you up to date on all that is going on in the world of sports, including those NBA and NHL playoffs. So be sure you tune into The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.